Welcome to Music and the Message from St. Peter Lutheran Church in Gilberts, Illinois. We pray this blend of musical praise and the spoken word will enlighten your day and bring you closer to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
The following readings and sermon are from the Mother's Day service on Sunday, May 10th, 2020.
Reading is from the book of Acts, chapter 6 and 7. Now in these days, when the disciples were increasing in number, a complaint by the Hellenists arose against the Hebrews, because their widows were being neglected in the daily distribution. And the 12 summoned the full number of the disciples and said, "It is not right that we should give up preaching the word of God to serve tables. Therefore, brothers, pick out from among you 7 men of good repute, full of spirit and wisdom, who we will appoint to this duty. But we will devote ourselves to prayer and to the ministry of the word." And what they said pleased the whole gathering, and they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Spirit, and Philip, and Prochorus, and Nicanor, and Timon, and Parmenas, and Nicholas, a proselyte of Antioch. These they set before the apostles, And they prayed and laid their hands on them. And the word of God continued to increase. And the number of the disciples multiplied greatly in Jerusalem. And a great many of the priests became obedient to the faith. And Stephen, full of grace and power, was doing great wonders and signs among the people. Then some of those who belonged to the synagogue of the freedmen, as it was called, and of the Cyrenians and Alexandrians, and those of Cilicia and Asia, rose up and disputed with Stephen. And Stephen said, "Brothers and fathers, hear me. You stiff-necked people, uncircumcised in heart and ears, you always resist the Holy Spirit. As your fathers did, so do you. Which of the prophets did your fathers not persecute? And they killed those who announced beforehand the coming of the righteous one, whom you have now betrayed and murdered. You who received the law as delivered by angels and did not keep it." Now when they heard these things, they were enraged and they ground their teeth at him. But he, full of the Spirit, gazed into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of God. And he said, "Behold, I see the heavens open and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God." But they cried out with a loud voice and stopped their ears and rushed together at him. Then they cast him out of the city and stoned him. And the witnesses laid down their garments at the feet of a young man named Saul. And as they were stoning Stephen, he called out, "Lord Jesus, receive my spirit." And falling to his knees, he cried out with a loud voice, "Lord, do not hold this sin against them." And when he had said this, he fell asleep. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The second reading is from 1 Peter 2, 2 through 10. Like newborn infants, long for the pure spiritual milk, that by it you may grow up into salvation, if indeed you have tasted that the Lord is good. As you come to him, a living stone rejected by men, but in the sight of God, chosen and precious, you yourselves, like living stones, are being built up as a spiritual house, to be a holy priesthood, to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. For it stands in the scripture, "Behold, I am laying in Zion a stone, a cornerstone chosen and precious, and whoever believes in him will not be put to shame." So the honor is for you who believe, but for those who do not believe, the stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone, and a stone of stumbling, and a rock of offense. They stumble because they disobey the word, as they were destined to do. But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of the darkness into his marvelous light. Once you were not a people, but now you are God's people. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 14th chapter. Jesus says, "Let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go there to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to myself, that where I am, you may be also. And you know the way to where I am going." Thomas said to him, "Lord, we do not know where you are going. How can we know the way?" Jesus said to him, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you had known me, you would have known my Father also. From now on, you do know him and have seen him." Philip said to him, "Lord, show us the Father, and it is enough for us." Jesus said to him, "Have I been with you so long, and you still do not know me, Philip? Whoever has seen me has seen the Father. Do you not believe that I am in the Father, and the Father is in me? The words that I say to you, I do not speak on my own authority, but the Father who dwells in me does his works. Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father is in me, or else believe on account of the works themselves. Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever believes in me will also do the works that I do, and greater works than these will he do, because I am going to the Father. Whatever you ask in my name, this I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. This is the gospel of our Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father, from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and from our Comforter, the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let not your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. For in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again, and I will receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. This is our text. And other than the words, "It is finished," I can think of no greater words of blessed assurance than those spoken by our Lord Jesus Christ in our gospel text for today. And that's why throughout my time of service to God's church, this passage has always been an important part of those worship services that I lead in my ministry to shut-ins. Those who live in nursing homes walk on the final leg of this life's journey. So what better words can be used to encourage the folks who find life's better days behind them? For those who look to the God of their salvation, where better to point them than to the eternal glory that awaits them when they close their eyes in death? Now in this time, when so many people look to the future with eyes of uncertainty, we all need to look to this particular text. What words better describe the love of the Savior for all his people? The Savior who came from heaven to a fallen and depraved world to serve us and to give his life as a ransom for us. The risen King of kings who has conquered death. The Lord of lords who has ascended into heaven and assumes authority over all heaven and earth and is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. After all he had endured in his suffering and death on our behalf, after rising in victory from the grave through the glory of God the Father, after receiving the kingdom to himself, and with it, all the power and glory to which he alone is entitled. Haven't you ever wondered? Haven't you ever wondered why the ruler of creation would take on the role of housekeeper to prepare a nice place for his lowly subjects? Sinners. Sinners who are unworthy of his grace and kindness. Sinners like me. Sinners like you. But then again, are the Lord's actions really all that unusual? My friends, what do you do when someone is coming over? When you are expecting a guest in your home, you prepare, right? You look around, you start cleaning, you dust and you vacuum, you wash the countertops and the floors, maybe even the windows. You change the linens. You make a list of what is needed and you head to the store. You buy the foods and beverages your guest will enjoy. And why? Why do you go to all that trouble? You want to make sure everything is just right when that guest walks through your door. So, could that be what Jesus is doing here? Could Jesus have gone to heaven to prepare for our arrival? To make sure everything is ready for that day when he comes again? To take us to be with him where he is? Or is any of that really necessary? First of all, none of us are worthy of that royal welcome. Christ is worthy. Christ alone. And while we're at it, what would need to be taken care of in the kingdom of heaven? Heaven is part of God's perfectly created order. God calls heaven home. Heaven is untouched by sin. Where everything is perfect, what would need to be done? Not a thing, right? It is we who need to be prepared to enter into the glory of God. How often had Jesus reminded his disciples? How often would he tell them that he must suffer many things, that he must be rejected by men, that he must be killed, and on the third day be raised to life? There would be no place in heaven for us unless someone paid for the mountain of debt that we had already racked up against God. Only Jesus had the divine currency to pay for our sins with his own blood, just as it had been written about him centuries ago. And so Jesus would come. Jesus would be that suffering servant. Jesus would be lifted up from the earth on the cross. He would be the sacrificial lamb for the Father to make atonement for all our sins. My dear friends, this is where Jesus prepared a place for us. You see, heaven lacks for nothing. The Lord Jesus Christ lacks for nothing. But you and I, well, we lack in every way possible. So Jesus was going to do whatever was necessary to provide us with that place in heaven, even die on the cross that our sins might be forgiven and that the kingdom of heaven might be opened to us. And that's why Jesus can say, "Let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me." Believe. Believe what? Believe all that you are about to see and hear. Believe when you see me arrested and condemned. Believe when you see me beaten and tortured. Believe when you see me hanging on the cross. Believe when you see me laid in the tomb. Believe the word of God that tells you I am doing this all for you. Believe that I am doing this to prepare a place for you with me in heaven. On that night before he died, Jesus told his disciples, "A little while and you will see me no longer. And again a little while you will see me. I will see you again and your hearts will rejoice. And no one will take that joy from you." And when it is finished, Jesus promises, "I will come again." When Jesus rose from the dead, what did he do? He went to his disciples. Jesus came to them again to give them the peace and forgiveness their troubled hearts needed, to give us the joy and peace we need, to give us life and hope today and on that day when he will come again to take us home. My friends, let not your hearts be troubled. It is finished. No longer are we separated from the Father. For if we know Jesus, we know the Father. And if we see Jesus, we see the Father. Through the cross, the Father comes to us through the Son. Through the cross, we see and know the love of the Father. We know his mercy and compassion. We know his wrath against sin. And we know his forgiveness for us. And yet, sadly, many people don't expect to see God in that way. Many think, can this really be how God works? Some think like Philip, "Lord, show us the Father. It will be enough for us." Others think like Thomas, "Lord, show me the proof. We want to touch it for ourselves. Like us. Show me, Father. Show me by answering my prayers. Show me by giving me everything I want. Show it to me and that will be enough. Really? What really? Won't there always be something else? Something more? Something greater? You want to see God? See him where he shows himself to you. See him in the shame and humiliation. See him in the strength and glory of the cross. You can only know and see the one true God through his crucified Son. Look to his cross and see him and know him. Because, my friends, you're not going to find him anywhere else. See him by the faith he gives to you. And see that through him your sins are forgiven. And that the door of heaven is open wide to you. Here's what we need to do. Let's ask God for the faith to believe, for the courage to act, for the love to serve, for the mercy to forgive, and for the strength to lay down our lives for others' salvation. And now that he has come to you and reconciled you to God, you can come to him by faith and receive the love and forgiveness that your Lord has come to provide for you. My friends, we wait in patience, and we will soon return to his table. We will soon return to eating his body and drinking his blood, that together we might grow up in our salvation, that we may truly love what he commanded and desire what he promises for us, that our hearts may be fixed where true joy is found, that our hearts would not be troubled by the changes we experience, nor the crosses we bear in this world and life and time, but that we would believe in God and believe also in Jesus Christ, his Savior, our Savior. My dear friends in Christ, in this world you will have trouble, but Christ has overcome the world for you. So don't be afraid. Just believe. The door's open. There is a place for you in his kingdom. May God grant you his peace. In Jesus' name, amen.
Yeah.
We hope you've enjoyed this edition of Music and the Message, brought to you from St. Peter Lutheran Church, located in Gilberts, Illinois. Worship services are held on Sundays at 8 a.m. and 10:30 a.m., and on Saturday evenings at 5 p.m. For more information, please visit our website at www.stpeterlutheran.org. Thanks for listening, and God's blessings on your